If you're visiting here today, you're most welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. You must please come again. This is only our second Sunday in this venue. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about it. And the Lord has just kind of enlarged our territory, given us a lot of space here. So we're very privileged to be able to be part of the community here and to be in the school. God has really answered our prayers, and His timing is always perfect for us. And the school has a website. They're quite jacked up. And if you go on there, they've actually got a vision statement and a mission statement and everything. And I think you'll really enjoy what you see. I'm somewhere going to give you the highlights over here. At Sunningdale Primary, this is in their vision. This is just the first line. At Sunningdale Primary, we strive to create a culture where God and the love of God is the foundation of all we do. And in the mission statement, at Sunningdale Primary, the first line again, we strive to place our learners at the center of Christian-based education and learning. And then the blue at the bottom says, the sunrise reminds us every day that God has given us a brand new chance to shine. Take the chance. And there's your teachers, so go check it out. If you bump into them in the mall, then bless them, and it's wonderful. The principal is Mrs. Estelle DeWitt, and she's just such a blessing to us as a congregation, really opening up her heart. Don't get distracted, Wilma. she's really opened up her heart to us as a congregation. You'll be hearing in the course of the next few months quite a lot about, the seasonal message at this time, or what God is really saying to us as a Shofar Church globally. And Pastor Fred is really he's really working through some powerful stuff that he's been sharing with us at the staff meetings and so on. And it's really been challenging and it's been really inspirational as well. And so I can't wait for you guys also to just spend some time listening to what he's preaching. You go online on the Shofar website and click on Stellenbosch, or I believe he's preached at Somerset West recently as well, where he felt he gave a nice sort of full message there. And just listen to what Pastor Fred and is preaching at the moment. Also, Lucille tends to preach very in line with what Fred is preaching. She often just makes it kind of a bit more practical, where sometimes, it's like Fred's a few steps ahead of us and it takes us a while to work through what he's saying. Then it's good to listen to their sermons in tandem. It'll be a huge blessing to you. But Fred has mentioned things like that this year is a year of rest. Okay? He's mentioned where this is our 21st birthday as a Shofar group. And that is something to celebrate. And it also represents, in the spiritual, a coming of age as such. And this is linked to the keys of David. And there's a number of keys there, and Fred is busy ministering through the first keys at this stage. And as I said, very important to go and look at that. But it ties in with the authority that we've been given. Where what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. As believers, so often we kind of just roll with the punches through life, and we get in this survival mode. And life is so much more for us and for us to be a part of when we recognize the authority that we've been given in Christ to not only make a difference, but to be the difference as well. And so, very exciting stuff happening and coming your way. Now, a few weeks ago, we showed a clip of Brian Welch, the former front man of the Korn rock band. It's well known if you move in those circles. And it was his testimony of how he came to the Lord and quit the band and, said no to all that, the fame and fortune. And the Lord really turned around his life. And I think he had a lot of tattoos before he came to the Lord, but he's managed to alter the tattoos to be Christian. So that was quite cool. So he's still, if you see him from a distance, he looks quite scary, all tattooed up. But for us here in Tableview, that's nothing new. We see tattooed people all over the place. So that's good. And tattooed people are welcome in the church. I don't know what you're hiding under your shirt there, but you're welcome here. Okay. You're most welcome. So he mentioned a scripture that a turning point for him was when his estate agent, who was obviously a believer, said to him, you know, he was reading that morning and a verse just jumped out at him and he knew he had to share it with Brian. And it was Matthew 11 verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, and I'll give you rest. And so, you know, Brian went home and he kind of went to the dictionary and tried to figure out, you know, what this message for him means. And he recognized that, yes, this is for him. And then he accepted the invitation from the guy to go to church the next Sunday, and he gave his life to the Lord then. Then he went home and he did a, he was a crystal meth addict, and he went home and he snorted a line again, and because he was totally addicted to the stuff, he had to take a line in the morning just to be able to function and take his daughter to school and everything. And so he got home, did a line, and then he just said, you know, God, if you're there, Father, if you're there, please take these drugs from me. And the Lord did that. In that instant, he was flooded with the love of the Lord, and he could just get rid of all his drugs, and the Lord just opened his eyes up to his love, and he quit the band, and he started taking care of his daughter. Really powerful testimony. But that verse and the subsequent verses have really been on my mind the last while, and so I'd like to just share, firstly, that scripture. Take it to verse 30, yeah. So, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus speaking. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what we ministered on last week was how we ministered on the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus ministered to at Jacob's well. And how he wasn't really interested in the physical water, although he was very thirsty. He was engaging her, and he always has the bigger picture in mind, and she went and proclaimed Jesus as Lord to the whole Samaritan village after that. And so Jesus really managed to engage her and brought the word of knowledge, because he has all knowledge of how, you know, she was in adultery. And basically, we also spoke about how oftentimes we do things in our own strength, and the Lord invites us to come and yoke with him, where he actually takes over the burden and the hard work, and we enjoy the benefit of being with him, where suddenly the work aspect kind of fades into insignificance compared to the presence of the Lord in your life. Because the Samaritan woman, when Jesus started using the water and the well as an analogy and a conversation starter, you know, and he asked her for water, and she said, no, but you want me to draw for you as well? Sorry. So Jesus says, no, if you knew who was asking you for water, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. And she was so intrigued by this. She said, and he said, and you will never thirst again. Do not have to come to this well again. You know, because I'm drawing water for the whole family and for the livestock. I mean, that's serious hard work. I'm sure Jacob's well was a pretty deep well. And it's pretty intense work. So where can I get this living water? You know, and so what he was talking about was that life in Christ, that salvation. He immediately showed her her need for salvation, her fallenness, this adultery, the five husbands that she had and the man that she now is with and isn't her husband. And so there's an aspect of that that speaks about, just in simplistic physical, natural terms, the drawing of the water that she was thinking in her head initially, because she came to the realization that he's the Messiah. But, and then a place where there's living water. And I find that often we forget to invite the Lord into our workplace. How is the Lord manifesting through your presence there in the office? In what way is the Lord helping you or using you in the office to help other people? Is the Lord there? Are you consciously aware and deliberate in including the Lord in your work life? Because modern day stats will tell you that we spend almost 80% in the West of our lives at work during those working years. 80% of your time at work. So if you are excluding the Lord from your work life, then you've excluded him from a big chunk of your life. And you better be sure he wants, and he's not waiting outside the door of your office for you to come out again at 5 o'clock and then he jumps in the car with you and helps you home. No, he wants in. He's sitting there. He can help you with your challenges on the computer. He can help you with the relational challenges in the office. And he can help you. And his heart is to use you as a light to shine his love to your colleagues. Sometimes if we take a closer look, we'll recognize that we might be the only believer that a certain individual at work knows. And then you better believe you are God's closest agent and representative to that guy, and that he wants to use you to make an impact in that guy's life. And so we need to start getting deliberate and intentional and missional around our work lives as well. But that was just an example of how work is sometimes a place where we find ourselves doing it in our own strength because we haven't included the Lord in it. Are we deferring to the Lord in our everyday life? Are we welcoming guidance from him? Are we consulting him for guidance, you know, and heeding his word? Are we meditating on the word of God, which will guide us, will be a light to our path and a lamp to our feet? Are we praying? Are we praying? Because you can pray in the Spirit and deliver a good job at the same time. I wouldn't recommend, you know, a 24/7 prayer meeting at work every day with your colleagues, because the boss won't be too happy about the work not getting done. So we don't steal time from our bosses, but your lunch break is there, your tea break is there, after hours with the colleagues, praying in the Spirit while you're doing your work. We can train ourselves to do that. So we stay connected to the Lord the whole time, and he'll keep you two steps ahead of the angry client that might want to phone you up and so on, and give you the patience that you need to handle that situation, you know, so that we can remain having a good testimony amongst our colleagues at work. Okay, so we're talking a bit about rest this morning, about parts of our lives where we might be struggling or finding it difficult, doing things in our own strength, and surrendering those parts to the Lord and enjoying his rest. Matthew 11:28, he's speaking about rest here. He's speaking about yoking with him and A few years back, I was really blessed when the Lord showed me this picture that I shared at church then. And that was of this oxen that yoked together, these two oxen. But the Lord being this massive ox that doesn't even need a partner to pull the plow. But we are this little baby ox, but we yoked. So our neck and the Lord's neck is right on a level, but our legs are dangling in the air. And the Lord's just plowing together. We're going with him. We see what he's seeing. The field is getting plowed. We're enjoying the benefit of that. But we are not doing any work. We're like nicely, securely tied up there and comfortable in a nice harness. And then and the Lord is doing all the work. It's a place of enjoying the Lord's strength. A place of recognizing that we are weak. And when we're humble like that and recognizing our weakness, then the Lord's strength can be made perfect. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. TNC, you'll have to help me here. Is the Hebrew word for grace means a say or is bread? Is it the Hebrew word or the Greek word? Something like that. Okay, we'll confirm that next week. But apparently, I think that the Hebrew word for grace is the same as bread. Or maybe it's like a synonym or something. But there's the picture of you, it's strength that you're receiving. It's like that manna that sustains you. Bread of heaven that God gives us every day, that grace. He gives you the bread, the strength you need every day. His grace is sufficient for you. Are you experiencing that sufficiency in your everyday life? You know, and because work is so topical, I mean, does Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday, does that feel kind of like violence being done to your spirit? Is that just so tough? You just can't wait for the weekend. You can't wait for church on a Sunday morning because you don't have to go to work on a Sunday. You can receive from the Lord. But I want to tell you, you can receive from the Lord every day. It's important that we cultivate a strong personal devotional life every day, where we invite the Lord into our day, where we glean instruction from the Lord. Jesus is a prime example. He was an early morning person. You know, some of us struggle with that. I know Pastor Fred is one, so I don't mind lifting my hand up as well. But hey, I'm enjoying our prayer on Thursday mornings. It's so awesome. Please join us for that. Okay, but the Lord Jesus up early, up the mountain, praying, coming down, having his instructions for the day from his Father. Doing things in our own strength. Rest. Now, there's a few pictures I'd like to show you of when we use things the wrong way. You're doing it wrong. Okay. That might be photoshopped. I'm not sure. I hope so. Okay, the next one. When we're using things the wrong way, you meant to reverse that boat into the water. Okay, and then finally, that is the Superman trick, which I don't think ended very well in that stage. But again, I'm hoping that's photoshopped. But doing things wrong, there's a right way and there's a wrong way, people. We are of the people in the world that believe in absolute truth. We believe in the Word of God, that this is the truth. And everything that is contrary to the Word of God, no matter how close it might seem, is a lie. And so, we have a right way to live and a right relationship with God that we are pursuing. We have a right purpose in our lives. And if we are using our bodies and our talents and our energy and our time in a wrong way, outside of God's will, there's sure destruction to follow. Might be delayed, it might be initially not too severe, but when we are outside of the Lord's will, outside, living outside of obedience to his word, things start getting messy and messed up and unhappy. Okay, when you're using things the wrong way. Now, what did God create us for? What am I doing here? Okay, there's a picture of a telephone, a boat, and a motorcycle that are being used in the wrong way. Okay. Now, if my life is in a bit of turmoil or a mess, maybe my work life or whatever it might be, just again as that side example, you know, what am I missing over here? Why am I experiencing that? What did God create me for? First and foremost, my work is not about the paycheck. Yes, the paycheck helps to provide bread. That is what God is using for. He's given me the ability to obtain wealth, but He's my provider. Jesus is my boss. I work as unto the Lord, not unto my boss. That brings a tremendous amount of freedom in your workplace. We are called to fear God and not man. Some of us are trapped in this people-pleasing thing. We can't say no. And life can quickly spiral out of control and become unhappy. Okay. Now, we're not striving for happiness. Striving for godliness, righteousness before the Lord. Okay, but joy, which is a deeper than happiness, is a fruit of the Spirit and the life with the Lord. So, how are we using our lives? We were made by God for God. We were made for Christ. Are we being used in that way? Are we allowing ourselves? Are we surrendering to the Lord? Jesus is Lord. We have all sung it before. We've all said it. We wouldn't be believers if we haven't said Jesus is Lord. If we cannot say Jesus is Lord, you're not a believer. There's some people that are demonically possessed. And that's a good litmus test. They cannot say Jesus Christ is Lord. Cannot. Okay, so we can say Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Lord means master. The one to whom I surrender control. Is the Lord in control of every aspect of your life? As they say, He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Is He Lord of your life this morning? When He's Lord of your life, that's when things start going right. Doesn't mean there's no challenges. Doesn't mean there's no storms, but you're in a boat that cannot sink when He's Lord of your life. He's in the boat with you. And yes, sometimes in our frailty, we might cry out, Lord, and He'll just be sleeping in the boat and wake up and say, oh, you have little faith, and He'll speak to the storm and calm the storm and give you a hug and sit down again. The Lord is good like that. He always comes through for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. If the Lord doesn't come through for us, we wouldn't be sitting here today. And He demonstrated that most powerfully, once and for all time, that nothing is impossible for Him. When He rose from the dead, if our Lord didn't rise from the grave, we sang this morning, from the grave to the sky, if He didn't rise, we would have had no foundation for our faith this morning. But Jesus is risen. He's alive. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. His work is done. What happened at the cross is finished. He's sitting. That is a sign that His work is complete. And He's ruling and reigning. And before He went to sit down, He gave us, He delegated to us that authority. Are we walking in that authority? It's a place where no matter how tough it gets, no matter what the challenge, you can enjoy rest. Now let's look at the next scripture. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. It's a scripture that Pastor Fred also ministered on the other day. Your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Okay, just preceding the first four verses tells us to put others' needs before our own and to love others and care about them. But that we should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Okay, so He willingly stripped Himself of all of His privileges and His titles to come and live amongst us to show us the way. So that he could be among us, so that we can relate to him. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Remember, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He had nothing. He didn't have anything of his own. You know, he was a humble man. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The most shameful death you could die, hanging on a cross. It was a sign of shame to be hung on a tree, on those wooden beams. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Jesus went being 100% God and 100% man. He went further than anyone could imagine in what he did in taking on the cross that God has given him, the name that is above every other name. No one else can match what Jesus did. He's matchless. Because he was God who went to the cross for us. You can go to a cross, and there's many people that do that every year. In South America and the Philippines and so on, that have themselves crucified to try and experience something, have an experience with God. I don't know, I think that's bordering on blasphemy. But you can have yourself crucified. It's not going to come close to what Jesus did. He was God, and he did that. And not only was he crucified and endured that tremendous pain, because he was flogged to within an inch of his life before he got crucified, Pilate hoping that the people would release him. But he carried the sin of the world, being separated for the first time from his Father, for the first time in eternity, knowing exactly what would happen, and then having to descend to the depths of the earth, take those keys of David, keys of the kingdom, the authority back, so that he could give it to us. He did it for us. Now, I'm just going to just keep that thought. I'm going to just backtrack a little bit. Chapter 12 of Matthew. In other words, the verses straight after the ones that we read just now. Continues to talk about Jesus and disciples walking through the fields and the disciples picking heads of grain to eat. They were hungry. And they did this on the Sabbath. Saterdag, ne? Okay. So they did that. And the Pharisees, the religious folk, saw this happening. They're not impressed. Because the Jewish rules state that you may not do any work on the Sabbath. You're not even allowed to spit on the ground because your spit will move some particles of sand. And that will be like plowing. Okay? I mean, some of the oaks can really hoy a gwell, you know. Okay, no. So, but anyway, you're not allowed to spit. You're not even allowed to spit. This is how serious they were of it. These oaks were the Pharisees, man. Imagine you had to bump into a Pharisee today. Woo! You know? I think, yeah, that'll be a good fight. So, no. They were disgusted by what Jesus' disciples said, because here was Jesus preaching the kingdom, telling everyone about God. And yeah, his own sort of personal group of disciples are busy picking heads of grain. And so Jesus replies and tells them about what David and his men did, you know, going into the temple and eating of the offerings there. And the bread and so forth. And he continues that, you know, so what if if one of their livestock fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't now rescue that animal and, you know, lift them out of the pit doing that work? So what Jesus is also saying, that the Sabbath rest law, and for us principle, is not about physical labor. Not about physical labor. It's a principle about yoking with the Lord. It's about focusing on the Lord. It's about intimacy, relationship, time with the Lord. That's what it's about, you know. And so a lot of Christians will deem Sundays very holy. And it's not like they, you know, some of them won't walk to the shops or whatever, but some of them will just really deem it holy and a time, a special day where that they put some real effort into their relationship with the Lord. Spending more time in the Word, because it's, you know, you don't have to be at work maybe on the Sunday. Spending more time in the Word. So they've chosen, you know, Sunday as their Sabbath rest, but it's about relationship, connecting with Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. His disciples were with him walking through those grain fields. They were as observing of the Sabbath as God would require any day of the week. They could touch Jesus. It's not about starving on the Sabbath. It's not about not eating or not spitting. Spitting's not good though. Okay. So the Lord wants to give us rest. This year, Fred said, the Lord is saying to us, it's obviously something that we're not really, something we're missing oftentimes. We need to get back to that place. Because it's not just a season of rest. This is something we need to grow in and permanently. We need to understand that rest principle. God even demonstrated to us by resting after the creation. Okay, but it's important. It's important to spend time reflecting, to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend time in His Word. This is Jesus in print. You got time on a Sunday, spend time in this. Eat the Word. Get the Word in you. You need Jesus. You need time with the Lord. That is the principle. Because guess what? When Matthew was written, there was no chapter headings and numbers. So maybe they could have made chapter 12 just before Matthew 28. Because I think that the rest that the Lord is talking about, and then what the Pharisees were contending afterwards, can be considered part of the same story as well, and a practical illustration of how it's what it's not. The Pharisees already cut by the staart be it. Okay, so we need to understand, we need to get back into rest. I don't know about you guys, but the Lord says, if you are weary and burdened, I know there's people who are weary and burdened, come to Him. Not stop doing all physical activity. Come to Him. He will give you rest. Are you coming to the Lord? How are you coming to Him? We all need rest. I don't know how you can do life without the rest of the Lord. You won't be as successful as you could be. It's not even about that. This is for an eternity, preparation for an eternity. And so as believers, we know we can't go without that. Don't try and do things in your own strength. We need to get some of that Sabbath rest. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what He tells the Pharisees at the end in chapter 12. He says, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay. He's the one who gives you rest. You don't get rest by not working and ignoring God and church and whatever. You get rest by yoking with Jesus, by connecting with Jesus, spending time with Jesus. He is your answer if you are weary and burdened today. He is your answer. Amen? Will you stand with me and let's pray? Father, we just want to give you praise and thanks. We thank you, Lord God, that you've made provision in eternity and for us here now, for our every need. Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. We don't need anything else. We just need you, Lord. Jesus Christ, we cannot live without you. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to get our priorities in order, to get divine order in our lives, Lord. Make time with you. Thank you, Lord God, that we can know when our emotions are in a spin, Lord, or when we're feeling the heaviness of life, that we can be certain it's pointing to the fact that we need your rest. We need to connect with you again. May it be a daily reminder, Lord. Keep us on our knees, God. We don't want to live without you. We don't just want to get by. We don't want to fulfill the minimum requirements to gain eternal life, Lord. We want everything you have in store for us. We want to do the most we can for you, Lord. Jesus, you are humble. You tell us in Matthew 11, you're gentle and humble in heart. We read in Philippians 2, Lord, that you humbled yourself, Lord. Lord, let us not be proud, but let us learn from you and think of ourselves less often. Think of you more. Think of other people more. Because you have blessed us richly, Lord. And as we have freely received, Lord, let us freely give. I pray, Lord, for all those who are weary and burdened here this morning. Pray for all those who are struggling in their work lives, Lord. Who are failing to recognize greater purpose and meaning in it all. Pray, Lord, that you will intervene and undertake for them, and that you will bring breakthrough, revelation. That this life and every aspect of it is all about you, Lord. It's not about us. Not about the company. Not about the office. It's about you, Lord. Not about titles. Not about money. It's about you, Lord. It's not about recreation or entertainment. It's about you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you will bring rest to the people of this church. Make us a walking, breathing testimony to others, that others will come to us, desire what we have, relationship with you. Use us, Lord, as a light. Shine your light and your love in this world, Lord. We say it again, Lord, that you came willing to serve. But Lord, you are always a king. We are your people, and you call us to be willing to be servants, to serve your purposes every day. Lord, some of us might not have a problem putting our hands to the plow for your kingdom, but we might have a problem being labeled as servants. I pray, Lord, that you'll uproot that pride. If we cannot humble ourselves, humble us, Lord. Because this world is not about our comfort. It's about you, Lord. We bless you. Advia, can we flight that scripture? I just want to do what Pastor Fred had us do the other day. We all read that Philippians 2 scripture together. Certainly very, very powerful portion of scripture. And I think when we grow in the revelation of what it's ministering to us, your life can't help but change and transform. So let's get this scripture in our mind. I want to encourage you to meditate on this scripture this week, to think about it often, to read it often. Let the word do its work in you of renewing, of regeneration. The Lord is watching over his word in order to perform it. So you say, Lord, I see, I recognize, I acknowledge. Lord, you are humble. I want to be humble. So let's read that together. Say amen. Amen.